listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 9th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you, and glad to have everybody that takes the time to join us live. We appreciate your contributions. Always love looking, catching up with you. I look forward to it every week. And thank you to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. We get your feedback. We get some emails. We see your chat in the Facebook groups, including the One Planet community. And it's very much appreciated. Spirit of Life is, of course, a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right. I am looking forward to tonight's topic, which of course is, why did I leave my water in the other room when my voice is starting to get hoarse and my throat's dry? It's a mystery that we're going to solve. No, I'm kidding. Of course, tonight we're talking about, what's that?
I got your back, Michael.
tonight we're talking about Ouija boards and other forms of mediumship. And go ahead.
I got to say, I'm looking forward to this too tonight because I learned things I didn't know after doing a bit of research. And, you know, I mean, we like to think we know stuff, Michael. And then you start reading and you go, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
It is.
So
it is.
It's going to be a good conversation tonight.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. We always, you know, learn something, and I know I do. You know, I often like to think that I know things, but then it turns out, I was wrong again. But no. But all kidding aside, I come to these, you know, a lot of times we do, you know, we're familiar with a lot of it, but then we look into it, we research further. This has been one of those. In fact, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek, Dr. Vicki and I were talking, and I said, I think the biggest mystery is why is Ouija spelled that way? To which, Dr. Vicki, you had a wonderful reply, which I think segues us into the start.
Yeah, let's get started by first saying that the Ouija board, Ouija, that's how it's pronounced, is just a vehicle, but we're going to talk about the history of how that vehicle became so popular and got all this, you know, bad rep. One of the things that I learned, of course, thanks to Google and, you know, a lot of sites and Wikipedia, is that one of the first kind of the root of the first mentions of automatic writing, which is relevant here, mm-hmm. was found in China around 1100 AD, and it was kind of that first known as Fuji, which was planchette writing. Now, fast forward, which we're going to do this right now, fast forward that the Ouija board wasn't invented in its current form until the 1800s, like around 1860. And I went, oh, I didn't know that. I thought that there was even a greater history, but it was the Kennard Novelty Company. But first let me say that it kind of sprung out of these other spiritual groups. And mm-hmm. as we know, there was a huge, underground rising around the turn of the century in the 1900s to, 1930s, 40s, 50s of, people doing mediumship and readings. And we could talk about Madame Blavatsky and, lots
controversial,
of
yeah.
You know, around that time, Aleister Crowley in the early 1900s. There's mm-hmm. an interesting story I have to tell you there in a sec, Michael. But Charles Kennard named it after an Egyptian word that means good luck. So that's what Ouija means. And I went, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing when I read that, too. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, fast forward a couple of decades, Aleister Crowley wanted the rights to it because he was really quite enamored with the Ouija board, and he couldn't. So he was trying to make deals on the side to come up with his own, but that never happened. So he was going to call it something else and kind of develop his own Ouija board. So the Ouija board, having started out, And by the way, everybody, it is considered a toy, when it comes to marketing mm-hmm. and consumerism. And it's now manufactured and put out by Hasbro.
Yeah.
But I've got to tell you, any kind of divination we're going to talk about tonight or mediumship is considered a toy. It's gaming. It's novelty. It's nothing more than that. So the society and consumerism puts it in that category. So
you've
got to be clear there. And so I didn't, a lot of things that I didn't quite know about with the development of this Ouija board, but it really is rooted in how to bring forward spirits or, let's say, universal knowledge, unconscious knowledge, if you want to say it, but spirits. People want to get in touch with their loved ones or those who have crossed over. And some of you may not know this, but a long time ago, people in some cultures in China, you could marry someone who was deceased. Now, I kid you not. You could marry a spirit, and the families would be okay with that, and you would get the dowry, and as long as you were committed to the family and so on. It's really quite fascinating what some cultures would do, but again, it's to bring spirits, Michael,
and it's something that is definitely endemic to the entire human experience. We are so aware of our mortality, and we, in our various ways through different cultures, we want to keep connected with our ancestors. And a lot of times that's by directly communicating with them in some examples. And I think, when it comes to, the Ouija board, I think that like many things, physical objects, you can imbue it with your own energy, use it as a tool of, just channeling. But it's just, I think it works because you believe it does and because your consciousness sets it up to do that.
Yeah, spirits need tools, I guess.
I was just going to say, and I also, you have to be also aware of the common, fraud and games that other people have played, especially, you have a few people with their hands on it, and that's one of the reasons that it gets a bad rap. But when you had told me that Hasbro had the rights to the Ouija board earlier, it just made me laugh, and it makes me think of all right, so where do you get, tarot cards? Bicycle? Jesus.
Really. That's true. So,
but
I really have to say, Dr. Zach in the chat says, I thought it was born, meaning the Ouija, mm-hmm. was born out of the necessity for folks after World War I to speak with their loved ones lost through the war. Dr. Kevin has said, I think Dr. Zach is right on that point. Now, that's around the time when the Ouija board grew a popularity. People found access to it, mm-hmm. and it grew its fame during that first, you know, that first World War.
Probably.
And the onset of that. I think it was around 1917, 1919. So, again, I'm just now going by my memory of what I've read, but it was originated in the 1800s.
It did. Well, according to, you know, Wikipedia, for what it's worth. But, yeah, spiritualism, the movements, Madame Blavatsky, all those things were, you know, at a fevered pitch in the 19th century. I think that we relate to things like that, to the desire to talk with loved ones who had passed during war. And I think that that example of its, you know, immense popularity after the massive loss of life in the war, is something that kind of made it cement firmer in our modern mind. It's a more recent connection, you know, that, people in, you know, well, until very recent, you know, somewhat recently, that were still within living memory, you know, would have passed down to us.
I think it's perfectly natural in mm-hmm. our human condition. Our spirit self knows that there's something more, but the human self wants an affirmation, wants to an acknowledgement, you know, and we want to know that there's something after this, so people naturally gravitate. For me, it's always been a reality, Michael. Spirits have always been, that's my norm.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever vehicle you use, whatever triggers that, like for instance, I can only speak for myself, whatever triggers through my mind is, you know, I'm finding ways to bring that information forward, whether that's by psychometry of holding an object, numbers, tarot, there's, you know, a lot of ways. I have actually been in the company of an Ouija board, but I think my early Christian conditioning made me afraid of them. And that was a huge thing that was going on at the time of the Ouija board and its growing fame, is the church religion said, this is evil, you're conjuring, you know, demons. And so there was this whole other side to it that caused quite a stir.
Yeah, and just like your example, you know, one of our live listeners, Kat, had talked about her entire family being against anything that's considered witchcraft.
Yeah.
And how often are things that are simply outside of the norm or things that can be easily cast as other, being, you know, being demonized, different ways of approaching life, of looking at the natural world, you know, a lot of times we've talked about the difference between those that believe in the Abrahamic deities or more naturalist kind of, you know, spiritualism or things with the broader world or the idea of a combined consciousness. All these different things would be pagan. But yet, by the same token, in especially the Caribbean world and, you know, places like Louisiana and even places in Florida where you had throughout the South, but you had Catholic often from the French and other types of Christian beliefs mixed with animistic and other traditions from Africa when the slave trade was, you know, bringing this, you know, doing this horrendous deed and bringing this human cargo. It brought with them their beliefs. It was something that they had to hold on to allow them to, you know, suffer this horrible injustice. But they kind of, it melded into, you know, common things like voodoo and a lot of different beliefs. And especially, you know, if you are at all familiar with those kind of ideas and philosophies and melding of Christianity and what would be considered witchcraft and animism and things like that. You know, it's an interesting take on it. But there's, you know, when we talk Christianity, there's so many different varieties of Christianity.
Yeah, exactly.
I challenge you to, you know, okay, great. The Catholics, they have one God, right? Just one. They're monotheistic. They got one God. He's just the God. But then they have a saint for everything. And they pray to that saint. What's the difference?
It's the sub-gods.
Yeah. What's the difference between that and Zeus being the leader of the gods and having all these other, you know, things below him? It's just, it's more of the same. And the hypocrisy is blatant. But nonetheless, like, that's taking us off topic.
Well, I think what I want to make really clear before we go any further to anybody when it comes to negative energy, projecting negative energy. Like attracts like, so it's, if you put out a negative thought, it can only have power if it receives an equal negative thought. Makes sense? So when it comes to things like voodooism or casting spells or all these things that people do, it hinges on the assurity of fear.
Yeah.
So if somebody says, oh, you know, you've got bad medicine, or you've got, you know, somebody put a spell on you, and you become afraid, that in and of itself, and then you're going to pick up on that energy, but you just created your own craziness. So, look, I've been around folks in my life where somebody says, you know, so-and-so doesn't like you, and she put bad energy on you. And I said, oh, bring it on, because when we go out there to do battle, she's going to lose, because I have no fear.
That's exactly my thought. Bad energy. That's another day in the week. That's not even anything special. I see your bad energy with my life experience, you know.
It has to have something to attach to. So think about one is like the other. If we send out good energy and we assume that that good energy is received, it's because people are good and there is a goodness to receive that. If you're sending out, you know, and you're vindictive or you're upset or you're, you know, doing bad stuff, and you're focusing it on somebody, you know, it can only work and contribute to their negative energy if they're negative. You see what I'm saying? But even then, you unto yourself can't do that to anybody. You know, I actually had a conversation not too long ago about some people I knew like 25 years ago, and I said, well, they thought I cast a spell on them. They asked me. and it was my daughter, and she said, no, really? They thought that? I said, yeah, they thought I cast.
Well,
and he just outright asked me, did you put, you know, voodoo on these people? And I started laughing. I don't have that kind of power.
Nobody does.
If I did, oh my God, I'm so powerful.
Well, I mean, you cannot. One of the core principles of, you know, things like hypnosis is you cannot subvert free will. You can't make somebody do something they don't want to do with hypnosis or with a spell. And when it comes to negative energy, you know, I think the problem is not enough people have a purring cat with them or a kitten with them. And when you have a purring kitten, everything is better, and there's no way to not have positive energy.
I have my
little kitten Luke here. He's curled up with me, and he's purring kind of loudly, but I'm not going to stop him even for professionalism because my priorities are in order. But
I love it. You know, I think that it's also got to be said here that a spirit cannot be in your tarot cards.
Yeah.
A spirit cannot live in your Ouija board. We could get into a discussion about residual energy, and that's a whole other kind of thing. But I've had a few people tell me that their spirit is in their tarot cards. And I said, well, that's not possible. And they said, yes, they absolutely believe their tarot cards are possessed by a spirit. And I don't mean to laugh at people, but it's just such an absurd thought to me. It's a vehicle.
Yes, it is. With things like that, it is a vehicle because, again, you're imbuing it with the consciousness at the time, or, you know, the cosmic consciousness. Sometimes when I pull the inner oracle cards, how I say it's mathematics, statistics, the probabilities, and trying to send a message. But, you know, that also segues into, you know, kind of an adjacent ideas. We talked about, hey, maybe we can tie in different things like talismans or totems. And, you know, I think if you were to think of a set of cards, well, is just one of the cards possessed? Are they all possessed equally? Is it 1/54th of a soul in each card, or what goes on? What happens if they get separated? But we can, you know, kind of relate that to the idea of totems, right? And I think that more than talisman, I think a totem would be more apt when it comes to things that, you know, would contain an energy or represent a spirit energy. Especially when it comes to, you know, many of the indigenous tribes of the Pacific Northwestern North America. But I know that totems and, well, the idea of it would transcend, you know, the oceans. And I think that things like that can be seen in most societies. Would you agree?
Well, I think we're all connected to that. I really do, Michael. I think that we have a connection with the natural world. And it's whatever your connection is in that way. What do you resonate with? What's your nature kind of thing? And that would be like your totem. Everyone has a root nature, a root name kind of thing. But we change over time. And so that's an evolution of kind of who we are. And I got to tell you, that's actually a really good program we should do sometime, is, you know, who we are by nature and how we're named in indigenous communities. That's because I can speak even from, you know, my Scandinavian Norse Viking roots and how names changed. And when you took on a new profession, your name would change again. So let's do that with a future show.
We're going to have to start making a list of topics.
We never run out of them. Isn't that interesting? I have to say, Audra has written in the chat, someone robbed her store, so she left a very basic curse with a symbol on it in case they came back and did it again. It makes her feel better. They will assume any bad luck is due to the curse, and maybe they'll stop breaking into places.
That's Audra, fantastic. I'd miss that.
Confession,
thank you.
To confession, I've done that myself.
That's fantastic. You know? I love it.
And you live in a neighborhood, and there's, you know, troublemakers and stuff. I would go out and put rocks out and symbols on the lawn and the gardens. I'd say a witch lived there.
I love that. Thank you for calling that out. That's fantastic. But
I don't blame you. You got to have fun with it sometimes.
You do. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the things because when I think of mediumships, and, you know, we're really talking about communicating with the dead, the people on the other side of the veil. But I think it leads into a broader category of spiritual energy and the material possession, you know, material things, physical items that play a role in that. And I think they play a role because it's a focusing agent for us. It's something that our mind can kind of then focus on. And, you know, we talked a little bit about totems, and I appreciate your clarification. But what about talismans? I think that has a whole different ballgame.
Well, that's like building, using symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me talk about runes, for instance. Viking runes or Norse runes are letters, symbols. And when you make a bind rune, it's putting two or more together to create a different energy. So every symbol has a flow of energy. Put it together, and it now becomes, in essence, a talisman. And I think a lot of people relate to the Celtic talises, you know, where you have all the swirls and the scrolls and things, and that all means something. Each is a symbol in itself.
Absolutely.
And you're generating an energy.
Absolutely. When it comes to a lot of, especially, you know, I've always loved Celtic symbolism and the you know, symbology. I like, there's a inherent truth in the geometry, isn't there?
And yeah, absolutely.
There's always, and there is a thing, you know, sacred geometry, many people are very likely aware of. But the mathematical principles of life have always fascinated me, too. And
there's another show.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. But
I would
like to,
I'm sorry, just coming back to mediumships, I don't want to leave out someone like Tyler Henry, this new young up-and-comer medium. He scribbles. And that's, instead of automatic writing where it might be words, he scribbles, and that's how he focuses. And I've watched him on several videos and gone through YouTube, and, you know, he did a lot of shows for Entertainment Tonight. And I think that what's fascinating about him is how he listens while he's focused. And he scribbles in different ways. Some things are circles, some things are back and forth, up and down, you know, and it's no different than using tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
an Ouija board. You know, it's whatever you connect with that creates that flow of listening to other energy. Now, we could call it the Akashic Records. We could call it the super consciousness. You know, we could, call it anything you like. But there are messages that we as mere humans in this certain dimension that we live in don't really think about until we open that door. So whatever opens that door for you, you know, it's, that's where, you know, you can hear other things. The key, though, is in what, how do you translate that? Mm-hmm. How do you translate? The universe doesn't paraphrase. It's very specific. So when we say, oh, they know what I mean, no, they don't, because you don't know what you mean. So it's very specific.
It reminds me, and I can't even remember which inner oracle card this is, but it says the universe speaks to us in the quietest of voices and the loudest of ways, if I'm remembering it correctly. Mm. I could be misstating, but, I think what you just mentioned there, that it's about communicating, it's about translating it ultimately, is why I think that it is such an individualized approach that, I'm sorry, what was the gentleman's name who you just mentioned, the up-and-comer?
Tyler Henry.
I almost said Thomas, but all right, that's his connection. And if he's found a way to legitimately connect and, you know, be able to communicate even in, you know, rudimentary ways with people beyond the veil, or maybe, you know, something at large, maybe the Akashic Record itself, and just being able to get things from that. It's hard to say. It's impossible to say. But that's why I think that we come at this from different ways. And your example of it, that being his version of the tarot cards, I love it. Yeah. I love it.
That's and just his version.
Is there any way that I can use kittens to communicate with the dead?
Actually, my old teacher Magda would say that cats are transformers of negative female energy, and dogs are transformers of negative male energy.
Hey, we're live again, just like that. I'm sorry, we had a some kind of issue where Dr. Vicky dropped out, and then I got her back, and then I realized our levels weren't going up, but it's reset now, and I think we're good. So, by the grace of the internet gods, who are mean and vindictive, we're back.
Hey, I want to mention here that I have to go back and say Tabitha mentioned that she was always told that when you finish with an Ouija board or anything, you have to say goodbye. And she also said that's why the Ouija board says goodbye. And I'm really glad you brought that up, Tabitha, because when I, especially working at the hospital, honestly, I ignore them, but there's a lot of dead people walking around. Mm-hmm. And I catch them out of the corner of my eye. I watch them walk right by in front of me, and it's kind of that silhouette things. But when I leave there, I say, stay put. I'm going home.
Don't follow me.
Don't follow me home. No, nope,
I don't have the time.
No. Nope. No, you belong here, not at my house. No. So,
well, and I think being assertive with your energy, your spirit, and your communication also is very important when any time you kind of peek behind the veil. People, I don't know, I don't want to speak with authority, but I would say that spirits can't hurt you. That Dr. Vicky, I think you could speak directly to this in past experience of basically stating your intentions to spirits that you not to be there, not to leave you alone, that they don't belong, that they need to move on, things along those lines.
Yeah, I think that there's so many. I'm not going to say there aren't bad spirits, just like there aren't bad people. You know, you can't say that. But bad people and bad spirits only have the power that you let them. And it's really about having, knowing who you are and having no fear. And I know that's not always easy for people. But I really don't believe they can do anything to us that we don't permit to happen. Mm-hmm. Can they move things? Can they throw things? Yeah, but I'm the boss of me, and it's my house. Stop that.
This is a little off topic, but I wondered from time to time, if you have a house full of life, you know, you have, you know, family and pets and all, you know, it's just filled with life and activity and energy. Is that something that would, you know, be more attractive to spirits, or would it be more like there's not a negative space to fill? There's so much energy and, you know, life and living in the house that there's just not that void for something from beyond the veil to kind of fill and come into.
Wait, we just got another program.
Right, because I need to start writing these down. What were the early ones we were talking about? Let's see, mathematics and reality.
I think that what happens is children are a particular conduit. The veil isn't as heavy, but I also think people with mental issues, psychological, emotional issues, can create energy to happen. Are they tapping into the other world? I'm not going to go there right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of things we can explain from a very psychological point of view. Mm-hmm. So that's where we have to be really careful to not automatically buy into, you know, what people are saying, demonic things.
Yeah.
Look, I've seen a lot of strange things in my life, Michael, but I also look at the people who are there and mm-hmm. how they're creating or allowing things to happen.
Oh, very well said.
And so it's as much as I want to believe in everybody, I also have that other left brain that says, I got to think about this. You know,
yeah.
This may not be all that it appeared to be.
Not to get lost in semantics, because I know the word skeptic has a lot of baggage with it. But, you know, a healthy, I don't want to use skepticism. What's a, you know, synonym? A healthy critical thinking is key. Have an open mind, but not so open your brain falls out, right?
Exactly.
Stay grounded, you know.
Dr. Zach says, they tell you not to use an Ouija board if you have psychological issues.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, Zach. That was a great way to close out that conversation.
So,
but if you have psychological issues, you shouldn't be doing anything.
Hey, I can do a broadcast and have psychological issues, Dr. Vicky. This is like an intervention, right? This is, you know, we're coming to talk to me about it now.
I know.
But I would also like to point now, just a couple of things. You know, we've had some great chat. You know, Dr. Raven had talked about, you know, if you're self-possessed, nothing can possess you, as something that Dr. Kelly, the elder, I call him Dr. Kelly, had, you know, spoken, written about. Jamil had mentioned earlier in the chat and kind of reiterated that a Ouija board cannot open a doorway to demonic spirits because it's, you don't give up your free will, you know, just because. You know, if you allow it, that's your call, but it's your choice. And I think that's some great points. And I'm sure there have been other profound points that have been in chat that I missed, and I apologize for that. Dr. Mike, I know he said his something about energy, you know, prohibiting from winning the lottery. But, you know, I was really working my energy to win that lottery, so I think we just canceled each other out. But a lot of great back and forth.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've gone a little long on this topic. It's been a fun one, and I've loved the chat. But, Dr. Vicky, it's that time of night.
I know. And we can almost do a part two on this. But and we've got so many people who've written their names down for cards. We're going to try to get through them quickly. But thanks to Dr. Greg, who often listens in the archives, mm-hmm. we are going to talk about transhumanism next week, everybody.
Yeah.
And we're going to explore it. And it's this I'm just going to read a definition here. It's a blanket term given to the school of thought that refuses to accept traditional human limitations such as death, disease, and other biological frailties. And we can explore space migration, mind uploading. That's mm-hmm. fascinating.
The singularity, yeah.
And cryonic suspension, that kind of thing. So I am really looking forward to next week's show, so we're going
to
do that.
I think crowd expansion, I think two things. I think futuristic space travel between stars, and I think Walt Disney's head in a jar. But
okay, Michael.
All right.
We have to get to it. It's that time.
We do. We do. We do.
As I have it down, I've been trying to keep up in the chat. I think we have Ione first. So
I think, yeah, you're right. But if you have a... If you have a list going, I'll follow your lead here.
Okay.
And Dr. Ione, so from the Inner Oracle card, the universe speaking to you through probability, you pulled number 29, Pay It Forward. Great card.
All right.
Fundamental. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offered no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is at the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
You know, but pay it forward can go two ways, Michael. And I pulled the Six of Clubs for my own on that. And I want to say, just when somebody gives to you, take it graciously and say thank you very much. That's what I want to say. So I think a gift is coming to you, something that might be out of the blue. You know, somebody's giving. That's my feeling about this. Look, there's lots of ways to interpret these messages. I have to go with the first thought that comes to me. So, you know, be gracious in receiving a gift that comes. And you will in turn, you know, pass that forward in some other form. And I like that. Something special there.
All right. Well, I love that.
I do that. Too. Anna is next.
All right, Anna. I have number 11, awareness. And let's see. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Well, I think that this has something to do with a man in your life or a male figure. Anna, the King of Clubs, comes up here, and it might be, this could go negative or positive, but there's a growing awareness of somebody and behavior and how you want to move forward with that individual. Sometimes we learn something about somebody and say, wow, that's quirky. I didn't know that before. But it's okay with that. I think it's a little bigger. I feel like it's a little more meaningful to you in something that's coming here with regard to, and again, I'm not going to say it's an intimate relationship, but it could very well be a friend or a significant male figure in your life. So, well, I hope that was out of nowhere, Michael. So let's hope it means something to Anna.
When you're feeling it, you got to go with it.
Yeah, I go with it. All we right. have Deb next.
Deb, I have number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with the need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Whoa, Deb, I have to spend a second on this, Michael. I pulled the Ten of Spades, which is disappointment in this case. So I'm saying, what does that mean? And so I pulled the Four of Clubs, and I know it means nothing to you, but how I interpret this is it's like a disappointment in a promise broken or something unfulfilled. And I feel like there's a little bit of grieving here, Deb, where you're just feeling the loss for a minute. Sometimes that's a loss of a dream or the loss of an ideal. An ideal idea or a notion that we had about someone. But that positive consciousness is telling you to work through that, you know, maintain who you are and your positivity. It's better to know more than not know at all, I want to say. So.
All right, I love it.
Edward.
All right. And Edward, I have for you number 24, truth. I don't think we pulled this one in a while.
No.
And, you know, I just come to think of it, I had noticed that Wendy was with us earlier, but I saw that she had dropped out of chat. But, well, Wendy, if you're catching up with us later, sorry we lost you. But a huge thank you to those that are listening right now to Wendy. She has always been our card keeper. She tracks the trends. Just really appreciate it. So, but Dr. Edward, number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or direction.
Well, I got the Page of Cups in that, Edward. And that's, look, the pages are communicators. It's that bridge between the minor and major arcana. So they always bring messages, news, you know, communicators, in a word. And in this case, it's really positive. What I want to say to you is, you might look at something and say it's too good to be true, but this is saying it is true. So I want to say that I think there's something here that you're trying to wrap your head around, and it is what it is, and it's in a really good way. So that's what I want to say to you for something that you're encountering in your life right now.
So very interesting.
Let's see how that plays out.
I like it, Dr. Vicky. You're on a roll.
Kat next.
All right, Kat. And Kat, thanks for joining us. Common presence and a great contributor to our One Planet community. And I also just wanted to throw a shout out. She has gotten her doctorate, of course. She's working on a book right now. I went online just to make sure that I got the title right, Heal the Water. And I'm, you know, looking forward to that. She's been writing about that. So I just shout out for that. Check it out when it's coming out. And Kat, for you, number 14, energy shift, a new chapter.
Mm.
Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Well, as a practicing pagan, Kat, congratulations. I love that. Congratulations to all your endeavors. That's awesome. But I want to say there's a real good amount of assertion coming here. New, we've got energy shift, new chapter, and I pulled the King of Swords. And I say, okay, King of Spades, what does that mean? And I pulled the Ace of Swords. So there's, it's like you're going to get a boost from someone or alongside someone who knows what to do for you. So again, they might not do it in the way you would because they're very assertive energy, but that's what you need, is that other business side. So don't discard it too quickly. It's an ally, and an ally that will prove to be really beneficial to you. So again, congratulations. That's awesome. Great. Raven is next, Michael.
All right, Dr. Raven's next. And I am no longer mute, so it's perfect timing. Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Raven, glad to have you with us, of course. And you have wild card number 7, Hope. Such a good one. Actually, just a quick aside, we've actually pulled this card, I think, more than any other this year. So, mm-hmm. Wild card number 7, Hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, and invention, and yearning for more. When all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Well, I got the Jack of Clubs in support of that, Raven. No, Knight of Wands in tarot language. And I got to remember with the tarot, there might be a Jack for a king, but there's no princess for a queen. So the knight can be male or female. Okay. And anything to do with clubs is generally a change. And in this case, when you have hope and that Jack of Clubs, my immediate feeling of this is you might be making a few changes in how you do things. Maybe not so much what you do, is how you do them. And so don't be afraid to look at that and be still remain hopeful that you're on the right track and you're doing all the right things in your pathway. Remember that life is your storyline, and I really feel inclined to say to you, stick to that, but don't be afraid to change a word or change a little thing here and then, you know, so and you'll rock it. I like that myself.
That's very good. I think we should touch on this real quick. Dr. Kevin had posted, what is codependent hope? And I think that's a good question. But when I think of codependent hope, I think it's when you're wrapping up your hope for your future unhealthily with based on somebody else, you know, trying to always, you know, kind of tailor your life and your dreams and your hopes around this person in an unhealthy way, beyond a partnership, in the sense that it's, I think encouraging codependent hope is kind of giving false proposition, manipulative, that kind of thing. But is that what you would say, Dr. Vicky?
Yeah, and I could only add to that that you're putting hope for their success above your own.
Yes, excellent. You know, excellent.
So, yeah. You know, that, that kind of makes sense there, too. Okay, right. We have Dr. Mike. You know, Dr. Mike, I have to tell you this. I have thought about it three or four times this in the last couple of days to message you to ask you how your course went. And, you know, of course, for those who don't know, Dr. Mike was in training with MUFON to how to better track UFOs. And so he had a good weekend of that, and I hope we can connect in the next couple of days. And if you're up for it, maybe, you know, come on the program again in the next few weeks, and we'd love to talk to you.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was just thinking, you know, has it been, has we talked about aliens recently? Well, I'll see you the last time, and I think it was last time was with Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah, always happy to have you, Dr. Mike. I always appreciate your contributions and your wit. I appreciate your wit. But for you, I have number 31, sacred obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Wow, I got the Queen of Diamonds in support of that. Now, I really had to ask, it's like my little spirits up here. What is that? And the first thought that came to me is you'll be negotiating with a woman about finance. Finance, money, perhaps an agreement, a contract. The sacred obligation, I think, and how this all supports one another is just staying true to yourself and what you expect or want from it. In other words, no compromises. So I think I feel real good about this, Mike, but I think you have to, what I'm sensing is be firm. You know, nicely, of course, but be firm about what you want out of it and move forward. So it's an agreement of some kind with finances alongside. Yeah.
Well, and not that this is tied together, but that reminds me, I was thinking, I think it was last week, Dr. Mike said that we might be seeing him perhaps on a segment of Ancient Aliens.
Ooh.
That just made
that
me think
might
about
be
that.
It too.
But, you know, pretty soon we're not going to be able to work it. I don't think we could afford Dr. Mark to begin with. I think he was just doing a nice for us, but pretty soon we're really not going to be able to. But all right.
Okay, we have next? Tabitha.
Tabitha. All right. I have number 28, do no harm, do right. That's another one. We had Pay It Forward earlier. Now we have this foundational cards here. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Well, I got the page of diamonds here, another page. Tabitha, what I feel here is an exchange of money. It could be a loan. It could be you. I really feel like it could be somebody coming to you for a loan in this sense. Either way, it's that do no harm, do right. You know, I have to go back to Dr. Kelly's adages of don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. It doesn't mean we don't help. But also, don't expect others to do for us what we can and should do for ourselves. And so I feel like there's a little bit of hesitation here in... Look, it kind of, if somebody asks you for money, maybe get them a gift card instead, I guess. There's always other solutions, other ways around this, that it doesn't have to be financial. That's so, and do no harm, and doing the right thing is maybe buy a grocery card.
Or a pat on the back.
Yeah, that too sometimes. I sure hope that makes sense, Tabitha. So, okay, we have Jean. Glad to see you here, Jean. What do you got for Gene, Michael?
All right, Gene, for you I have number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, opinions, and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Oh, that's it's interesting that the Eight of Hearts comes up with that, Gene. I like the Eight of Hearts, but it can be really unnerving and, you know, kind of squeamish because you have to rely entirely on your intuition. So imagine that Eight of Cups, you know, in the Rider-Waite deck where you're walking in the dark, you only have the moon there, and all these cups walking around the kind of the river. And so it's groundedness, following your instincts, your intuition. Sometimes it can be hard when you feel a little emotional or attached, but just taking a breath and saying, what's my sense of things? What are my senses telling me? And then you've got this. Absolutely, you've got it. So I think the worst thing, Michael, is that when we have a sense of things and we don't follow it. And
yeah.
I have to tell you that I was scheduled to work on Monday and Tuesday, and I had the worst feeling, and I thought, oh, is it the snowstorm? Is it the weather? You know, it's just, I'm just being panicky. And I said, no, look, it's just winter. Never mind. Go to work. And I was scheduled for a 3 to 11 shift on Monday at the hospital. And I just calmed down. I had run some errands. And I said, no, I'll go home, do a few things, go to work. And as I'm driving, I got the worst intuitive feeling. And I said, I'm not supposed to go to work. And I don't know where that came from. I have to follow that. So I called in, said I'm not coming in. And I have to follow that feeling. And it's when I weed past my own stuff, because, oh, I just hate snow, you know. But it's just that feeling. You got to follow your own feeling, work through your own stuff and say, okay, and then let the intuition hit you in the face. So I don't know what coulda, woulda, mighta, and I don't need to. I'm just following my intuition.
So. Yeah. Well, that's what you have to do. That's what leads to those kind of insights, that intuition. Yeah. And I am so envious. Oh, my God. I wish I could dial in like that. But
I think you're more dialed in than you realize, Michael. You just go left brain on me, that's all. Here we have Jamil next. We only have a couple more people. We're heading up on the hour, so
all right, Jamil. I'm going.
Right. Let's go.
Jamil, I have number four, unknowable. Wild card number four, unknowable.
I like it.
I do too. There are mysteries in the universe, and not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
You know, the first card I pulled, Jamil, was that four of spades, and that's repose. It's like laying low, chill out. Sometimes it's about timing. I said, okay, timing of what? Pulled another one, the king of diamonds. It's unknowable. So if you're in between things in matters of work, or a career change, or a job change, or something financial in that way, sometimes you have to wait it out. You know, it's like it's out there in the cosmos, but it's trying to, it's working on the entanglement. So when things synchronize, it all hits really fast. So then you'll understand it, and then it'll become knowable. So if things aren't happening as quickly as you'd like in the workplace or your career, just be patient. And again, I go with the number four. It could be 4 days, 4 weeks, and then it all connects. So patience is, I think, the key to that one.
All right.
Audra.
We have Audra next, and then we have so much good chat here. I've been trying to skip through and see. Yep, so we have Audra, and then do we have anybody after Audra?
No, we're good.
All right.
I think we got it.
Audra, I think this is a great card to go out on. Audra, for you tonight, I have number 9, Empowerment. Just had it open, too. Number 9, Empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
I love this, Audra. Temperance. Think of water. And the flow of water, and just kind of going with the flow. So empowerment, in this case, is letting things be that are out of your control. And when we do that, we feel the most amazing sense of peace. And that's what I feel is here for you. Like you're going along with it, but you know who you are. And things are unfolding as they should. And it's like you intuitively, emotionally, you can sense that. It's just that patience. You know, temperance is flow. So I get this feeling some good things are right around the corner. And it's been talked about, but it's just a matter of, you know, just waiting it out a little bit longer. So
that's fantastic. That is wonderful, and
wow.
It's been...
It's quite a show. We've come up in an hour, Michael.
I'm telling you. We're going to get overtime, so it's all good. But, we're coming rapidly to our close. It's been a great night of conversation. We've had a couple new live listeners. We've had a great discussion, and I thank each and every one of you. Sorry we lost Wendy there, but you were missed. Audra, so happy we were able to get a card for you. Very, I love it that it just plays into our, you know, dynamic that Audra, we always have time for a card for Audra there. But looking forward to next week. We're going to get into say it one more time.
Exploring transhumanism.
Transhumanism. I thought transhumanism, but I had a moment of doubt. But
we'll talk about things like, totem names, and indigenous roots to cultures, And then we'll also talk about symbols and how, and talismans and how you build symbols. So
that's going to be a long broadcast.
We're going to have fun. We got it all planned out.
And we have some topics for after that. Yeah. Yeah. We'll twist his arm. We'll find him. We'll pull up a collection. We'll get his feed here. But, I actually think he did allude that we might actually be seeing him on there. I don't know if that was, something in response to our question or something else, but that would be amazing, and we're looking forward to it. So as we come to a close, Dr. Ricky, great points tonight. Thank you so much. Any last thoughts before we close out the evening?
Thank you, Michael. I love it that we got a good crowd here, and I enjoy Wednesday evenings. And, you know, I wish everybody a great week. That's all. See you next week.
You too. So we'll see you next week, and until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.